So to Anthony Lima.
Yeah.
I think
morning, boys.
You know, you and I, boys, you and I both survived the Sashi Wars. We have survived the Baker Wars, the Watson Wars. It feels like every 3 to 6 months we have a new war or a new battle in a war that we've been fighting in Cleveland sports talk for a significant amount of time. And I will say, as a baseball fan, I've always been a little bummed that, like, the baseball wars are like, Dolan's is cheap. It's not really a lot there. There's just either you want to focus on your opinions on the Dolans, or you're kind of like me and you just kind of don't care that much because there's nothing that's going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no amount of screaming that's going to change the Dolans owning this team. There's the name wars, which were awful because then that became political. And anytime anything sports becomes political, God bless it, it sucks the soul out of the thing. I think we're finally on what is a safe baseball war that we are in the midst of, and it is no longer secret. It's the Guardians deadline wars. Because you and I yesterday asked the question, hey, if it's Thomas and Cobb, if that's the two moves they make, they want us to say Matthew Boyd as well, but they don't pay me anything, so I'm going to say the two trades they made at the deadline are Alex Cobb and Lane Thomas. And hey, if that's all they do, is that enough? And that was the smoldering embers of what became Jonathan Peterlin going full bleep house on the Guardians last night.
Tell me you have some audio of that.
We do. As a matter of fact, I will play. Let's start with JP here, where this is one snippet. There are five things we could play here, but JP referring to this the trade deadline yesterday as a day of disappointment.
Today is a day of disappointment.
See?
I can't yell. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to get angry. I'm doing my best to keep myself grounded in this because I don't feel like today's the day I blow a gasket. But today's the day that I'm beyond that. I've yelled about this team for a while now. It's fine. It's okay. I've made peace with that. The part that I'm sad about and I'm depressed about and I'm a little disappointed in is that the Guardians have been telling me for years who they are, and I just thought this year was going to be different. And I'm the idiot for that.
So that was one part of it. And in fairness, there are a few more moments where JP, even though he said he's not going to yell and get angry about it, he did get yelling and he did yell and get angry about it last night. It was great sports talk radio about his feelings in the Guardians. I don't happen to agree with them, but I love when somebody has a passionate stance on especially something like baseball, where too often we let the nerdy discourse get in the way of, well, actually, the WRC plus of this player. Nobody gives a rip. Listen to baseball podcasts. Most of them suck. And I say that as people who like the people that host those podcasts. But, well, you know, the shapes of his curveball. Like, I get we're not allowed to talk about the shapes of women anymore. That's ridiculous. We don't have to turn it over to curveballs. We don't have to sexualize curveballs so a bunch of nerds can get good and randy about baseball. Now I digress, because those were shots fired for me now. Tiger's already getting out of the cage. So Peterlin coming out. And we kind of were like, okay, well, it's not what I wanted, but at least it's something. I'll be honest with you. I thought we kind of rode the fence yesterday. And JP came out at 7, guns a-blazing. Well, usually, if you listen to the Morning Boys, you know, that first segment, they're waking up still. They're kind of feeling around what the topic is.
Getting the caffeine flowing.
And also, you got a couple egos there, so making sure they don't needle each other too significantly early, like the way we started our show with everybody in a Mexican standoff against each other. But today, Lima wasted no time. This is maybe 60 seconds into the show, Lima going off. I gotta say, don't have to agree with the content. Love the passion.
I'm sure that definitely played to the very vocal minority loser faction of the fan base right
Woo!
Now. I'm sure that got them all pumped up.
Whoa!
So that's good.
No, hold on.
I'm glad those guys could all get in a room and commiserate and have a good time.
I wouldn't call them losers, Anthony.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I definitely would. You thought that today or last night was going to be your big moment to shine. Then you realize, oh, you're just talking to the dorks on social media. You're just talking to each other. You're just having a big conversation to reaffirm everything you already believe. And then you realize, oh, it's actually a team that has the best record in baseball right now that a lot of us are having fun with. There was nothing that the team was going to be able to do that was going to change change your thought on any of the organizational things you've been upset with, the ownership things you've been upset with. And I think today is the day to focus on the fact that they did add to their team and they got the best record in baseball. So if you want to dwell on the fact that they didn't get all the All-Stars, by the way, Kenny, how many All-Stars were traded yesterday at the trade deadline?
I think zero.
I think the answer is zero. The All-Stars this year.
That's a good clarification there because Alex Cobb was a All-Star last year, but I'm not going to jam Lima up on that. So I found myself somewhere in the middle. One, you know JP is my ride or die. That's my boo, all right? It's Baron Penguin, not Baron Lima. So there's a part of me that wants to speak for my boy. He's going to answer for this at 7 o'clock. It's going to be great. I know it. I just never thought we'd live to see the day where Homer Lima was around. I feel like ever since he became boys with Kevin Stefanski, Lima is very pro-team. I feel like the slippery wizard is slipping himself up here because there's a very pro-team conversation of you should just be happy for what you got. At the same point, Peterlin has been jamming up the Guardians about moves like this, about spending money, about all that stuff. He has been speaking to that fan base, that specific part of the fan base, for a very long time. And I think he has a few people that he talks with a lot baseball, and I think that has informed that because the company we keep tends to influence the way we think. I cannot live in the skin of Guardians fans, and I don't know how you feel about this, Dustin. I can't live in the skin of fans who say nothing is good enough. And to all the absolute bat bleep crazy people commenting on the Facebook posts about the trades yesterday, I hear you. I see you, but I just can't live in that reality. At the same point, is it really so wrong that there are fans out there? Like, listen, to the fans that just nothing's ever good enough, to the fans that they honestly, there's a part of me that does believe that even if you had traded for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Mm-hmm. yesterday, in some way, whether it was yesterday or down the stretch, the guy strikes out three times in a game. Those same fans that were not happy with what they did yesterday, those same fans are going to weaponize that trade in some way. And it's the same thing that happened with Edwin Encarnacion. You never sign free agents. You sign Encarnacion. Look at the stats. He was really good for 2 years here. Then, all of a sudden, he became the albatross of, well, they're not winning enough, and he's not playing well enough. He's not Miguel Cabrera. Ship his ass out of town. So, they're both right in their own way. And I just am so happy, so pleased. I texted both of them. I'm so happy. The baseball wars are focusing on the deadline because this is the time where you should demand more of your team. You can't do any more. Like, with the way baseball works, dude, you know this. I can't, hey, go sign Shohei Ohtani. Show me you want. You can't. No, nobody's going to listen. Everybody's going to think you're a crackpot. Dude, 2 years ago, we talked about a realistic idea of trading for Juan Soto. And everybody else on the stage was like, I don't know. They're not going to do it. So why are we talking about it? So this is fans invested and media invested enough to the point where everybody at least has a damn opinion on they either that was enough and you should like it and you should smile through the bleep or, well, this will never be enough. Thank God. I think baseball actually might be back in Cleveland.
So back?
All the way back.
I don't know that I agree with Lima on everything he said.
Look at that. Show me what you got.
No, I don't know. I think it's a straw man. I don't know that everyone's all up in their, worked up in their deal.
I definitely don't think they're all worked up in their deal.
They're skivvies, whatever you want to say, skivvies. Man. I don't know. But my point is, I don't know, dude. We didn't get, there weren't, people outraged on Twitter that I saw. Maybe a couple. I just don't get the sense that the town's divided over this deadline.
I think, like most things in the world, there are extreme pockets in any group, politics, sports, food. I mean, dude, anything. Theater, movies. If I came out and told you I watched Grown Ups 2 last night, and it might be the dumbest, least funny movie I've ever seen, there's going to be somebody on Twitter saying, this fat idiot doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. that's a great movie. It most certainly is not a great movie.
But why'd you watch it again?
My kids asked to. I hadn't watched it since it came out. My kids asked to, and I'm a fool, and I'm a simp. I can't say no. But, something as benign as your musical taste, it's up for discussion what somebody else thinks about your. So I understand, but yes, I think most people are where you and I were. Yeah, man, there could have been one more move. The biggest umbrage I have with what Lima was saying is actually he continues to perpetuate this line of, well, it's not like any of these moves would have made the would have moved the needle. Cleveland fans know Randy Arozarena because we played them in the playoffs 2 years ago. If you had traded for Randy Arozarena, that would have moved the needle and maybe garnered more publicity and more excitement than Lane Thomas. I'm not suggesting that's what they should have done, but to Lima's idea of, well, I don't know who these guys are, so they're nobodies, there actually are people in town who do know. And there actually are people in town who talk baseball when the Guardians aren't just 23 games above 500.
By the way, thanks, Keith, for saying Logan Thomas yesterday before the show, because now every time you say Lane Thomas, I'm thinking this is, the tight end quarterback from Virginia Tech.
And every time you say Logan, I think of either Logan Allen, Logan, or... the Hugh Jackson movie, where tragic demise.
And then my mind goes weirdly to he played at Lane Stadium. Logan Thomas did.
Yeah. Look at that,
Lane Thomas. I mean, I'm just all over the place, dude.
RC from B-Town.
What do you got?
Oh wait, no, I thought
he almost spit your something up.
So
over there.
I said, all I saw was ask Fox to define, and I thought it was going to be all up in their deal. And then it ended up just being a mean comment to find straw man. He knows what straw man is, RC. Back off my boob.
Dude, I graduated college.
He did. At a prestigious university, no less.
Yeah, on the dean's list, by the way.
On the dean's list.
That's right.
Not on some guy's name, dean's list, on the actual dean's list.
On the dean's list, buddy. 3.7 GPA.
Almost didn't land the plane on that one.
Academic
there.
All-American.
I think they were trying to lump us into what JB had to say, and... which would make sense from 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, I was like, all right, guys, it's you know what or get off the pot time. I need something. And in fairness, the Guardians' messaging has not helped things. For instance, and Mac actually brought this to my attention about something that Antonetti said yesterday after the trade deadline was done. They continue to kind of parrot this line about the degree of difficulty with which it is to make trades.
How other teams value particular players with us and, how we value them. And, not all players have universally the same value among all teams. So you have to find a trade partner in which you can align on player values. And that's a really challenging thing to do.
I think that's a very articulate way of saying something that does nothing to squelch the anger of fans. And I really do. I understand in the abstract how hard some of these things are and that you're not just looking at this year, but you're looking at next year. And I understand that especially in a market like Cleveland, you have to be so prudent about these trades because much like, and I keep mentioning this trade, a bad Junior Caminero trade where he is the number two prospect in baseball, if Jackson Holliday's number one, 3 years later, that has significant repercussions. So I totally, but it does not, that right there is the crux. And what I do think is at the crux of the fan frustration that Jonathan speaks to, it's a valid frustration. We shouldn't have to be talking about being a front office, being tied at its hand by either bad ownership, if that's what you want to say the Dolans are, or cheap ownership, if that's what you want to say they are. Financially hogtied, however you want to put it, with the Dolans, we shouldn't. It is in the bounds of fairness and competitiveness, it's unfair. That is a real gripe, and that is a fair gripe. This is, and where I think Lima is most wrong on all of this. One, I said in the last thing, it's asinine to say, hey, none of these moves would move the needle for fans because nobody knows who these guys are. I think it's very dangerous to say the difference between I don't know who these guys are Or maybe I am not familiar with Lane Thomas, like Jose Ramirez clearly wasn't the other day. Oh, no, 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 of the Nationals. Yeah, that guy, good ball player. And saying fans aren't. At the same point, I also think, like, well, you're in first place. Why aren't you happy? That's why people aren't happy. They look at this year as a year where if 3 years from now you've made a move where somebody, whether you've won the World Series or not, if you lead to a move that is supposed to help you win a World Series and that guy comes in and he doesn't meet expectations and 3 years down the road, three prospects you gave up for him are the face of somebody else's franchise, a la Bartolo Colon, yeah, that's a considerable risk that you take. At the same point, there are times when you take the risk, and when you're in first place in baseball, it's kind of when you take it. So I don't look at this as like a bad thing. Like I said, we started the show. I love it. I love that you started out, and I thought, all right, I'm taking my boy JP's side of things. I know JP watches baseball. He, like me, we watch probably as much baseball as anybody on this station. I'd put that up there, put Medigan in the conversation, Mac in the conversation, but like amongst hosts, I don't know anybody watches much baseball as me and JP.
And I know I don't.
And that's, and you're very honest about that. So I when he's saying the things he's saying, even though I disagree with it, I think he's got a leg to stand on because he's paid attention to this team since the second he started here in 2016. And I, at the same point, like, I expected you to, you know, you and Limar boys, I expected you to, and you didn't. That's what I love about this crap. Like, this is what's been missing in sports talk in Cleveland is they should have made a deal. Oh, they did make a deal. Well, they didn't make enough of a deal. Well, you're just being a bad fan. Like, this is the good stuff, man. I did think, though, and I want to get your thought on this. I think there's a different way of looking at what the Guardians did that I think made it slightly more palatable, even though I think we can all look at the risk involved with trading for Alex Cobb and signing Matthew Boyd. I think the Guardians are going with a rotation of maybe to maybe save the back end of their rotation. This idea that they needed, oh, you need to trade for two starters. Not really. You've already got Gavin Tanner, and Ben Lively. And I know now, especially Gavin has to stay healthy, but you've got three guys up and going that are giving you a chance to win most nights. They've got five guys. This is a numbers game. They've got five guys that they're hoping to, in the next 2 months, to basically just nail down one of the other spots in the rotation and maybe challenge for one of the top three spots in your postseason rotation. Think about this. They've got Tristan McKenzie. I don't expect to see him back, but hypothetically, as long as he's still pitching, there's a chance. They've got Logan, who I think is probably the closer of the two to coming back.
Logan.
They've got Joey Cantillo, who made his MLB debut on Sunday. They've got Alex Cobb and Matthew Boyd. If you said only two of those five guys have to just eat innings and give you a chance, I think over 55, 60 games, I think it's pretty reasonable that at the very least they could do that. I don't know about the postseason, and that's the bigger concern, but like from the regular season, Guardians fans said, we just need guys to get in here and give us 4 to 5 to 6 solid innings. Any one of those five guys could, and if all you need is 40% of five players to find that to do, I think that's the easy part. Well, okay. Cycling through them is the hard part. But I think eventually, if you have five guys capable of starting at this level, you should be able to kind of work through those numbers. Now, the challenge is, when are they all going to be able to kind of factor in? Cantillo's factoring in now. We'll see about Boyd. And I think, you know, Antonetti said Cobb's got at least one more, if not two more, rehab starts. I think that's, if you can't trade for Crochet, Flaherty feels like a miss, but sure seemed like he was destined to go to the Yankees or Dodgers because it seemed like the Tigers liked their prospects more. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be a team apologist. Antonetti can't do anything about that. So if you weren't going to get Flaherty, there was really no other pitcher that ended up getting moved that I thought made sense. And this abstract idea of, Well, just go out and make a Godfather offer. Teams turn down Godfather offers all the time. We act as if every team is capable of going, I'll give you 30 prospects. Nobody does it. And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather take the risk of Cobb than whatever the hell the Houston Astros did with Yusei Kikuchi.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why don't you give me the salt and vinegar eyes over?
Because I wanted you to say it.
Kikuchi or salt and vinegar?
Both.
Pretty locked in my imagination. Does it feel different now that I've given you the rotation of maybe those five guys? It's basically just two of them need to kind of pan out.
I mean, I like the 40%.
Just what? The number?
No,
or the...
what you said was good, man. If you can get those guys to out of those five guys, you said you got to get 40%.
No, that feels doable.
40%, not 50.
No joke.
40%.
My dad, Scranton. 216-474-0092. Of those, of the rotation of maybe. JP had it yesterday, a day of disappointment. Now we're doing. We're just going to do political slogans for all this. Of the rotation of maybe.
Let's go.
Tristan McKenzie, Logan Allen, Joey Cantillo, Alex Cobb, Matthew Boyd. Who do you think is most likely to step up and actually be what the Guardians need in the second half, eat innings, and maybe push for a spot in the playoff rotation? Listening to Meredith's Olympic part of her updates, if I were her, I'd just make some of this crap up.
Like about the Olympics? Like,
yeah.
Make up what?
She could make up any of these names, any of these events up. Like, you got to know how to lie with this, but like, you know, she's giving these updates and she's saying things and I'm like, this could all be fake and she could just be poning us right now, making us look like fools, not saying like, hey, I don't think that's a real person or sport.
You know what I watched last night, man?
What's
it was
that?
Our archery.
Like, you mean the USA team archery?
Yeah, it was fun. There was, I mean, I don't know anything about it. I'm just watching
couple
women,
bros.
These women with these like huge bows and just firing off arrows. They were tied.
Yeah.
It was an American gal and the other woman was from, but it doesn't matter. It was awesome.
So I had a friend in high school named Ashley who was like into competitive shooting, you know, like all that like fast trigger stuff and accuracy and all that.
Okay.
Totally understood how you live in Ohio and get into that because certain parts of Ohio, if you live in the country, like, dude, I remember my uncle and my cousins and I, we used to have like the old roofing shingles and see if you could throw a knife through it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I understand how you get into stuff. Like, I don't understand. How do you get into archery like that?
Great question.
Like any of these sports that are not like, I understand how you get into football. Somebody enrolls you in football in fifth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, whatever. You show some talent, and then from there you just keep playing, and over time with training you get better, right? With talent and coaching and effort, you get better. How does somebody look at you and go, I think you're going to be an Olympic archer? I don't know. And it's not just that, like water polo.
I mean, you got to do that your whole life, right? I mean, talking about the archery.
Yeah.
The water polo, I don't know. I mean, you probably pick that up in high school, right?
Yeah, that's, by the way, a lot of dudes being dudes in water polo.
Just dudes being dudes.
Yeah, there's a vibe in water polo. The coach jumped into the pool. I don't know if he was in there the whole time, but the coach jumped into the pool. There's a lot of hugging going on. And I was like, all right, we got vibe going on here in water polo. But no, like, but here's the thing. I understand swimming. Somebody threw your ass in the pool, you looked real fast, and somebody said, you should keep doing that. I get that. But like, luge? Is that still a thing?
Luge?
The luge, yeah, I don't get that.
Like in the Winter Olympics?
Yeah, but well, no, my point is, of Olympic events, most Olympic events, the more obscure winter, how did this become a thing? It's like the opposite of like...
I think that's a totally fair question.
Because it's like, you know,
they've got so many different sports.
Well, it's like when people are like, all right, hey, we're part of a scared straight program. We want you to go in and tell these kids how you ended up on drugs and in jail. I need a scared straight program for Olympic athletes. I want you to go in and tell this fat radio host how you ended up in archery.
Sounds like the guy from, where was it yesterday? The sports talk guy? Oh, Tennessee. You didn't see it? The guy was doing the show live?
With Jeffrey Simmons, calling him a bad word, a naughty word on air.
Yeah.
Yes, like that, but a lot less cursy and more informative. I don't know how this isn't a bigger story for the Olympics, by the way. You brought this to the attention. We almost got into it yesterday, didn't have time, and this is a topic that deserves time and thought, and we just didn't have time for it yesterday. Can you refresh my memory on the Brazilian swimmer that got sent home?
So, Brazilian swimmer Ana Carolina Vieira. She's 22 years old.
Sounds like a very good name.
Apparently, she was on the Brazilian swim team. What's wrong?
No, because I'm laughing because we'd already set it up as a Brazilian.
I understand. I'm just trying to buy some time here, bud.
No, it's okay. No, keep going. You're doing great.
So she was sent home from the Olympics because she left the premises in Paris following an unauthorized exit from the Olympic Village, Nick.
I think this is trash. Like, what are we doing here? She didn't go swimming in the river that's got E. coli in it. Like, what? Because here's the thing. What are we doing to our Olympic athletes? They got beds now. They're trying to put in beds that don't let them, you know, do what most Olympic athletes do, which they use the...
Well, how would they, like, make a noise or something?
Well, no. So they're like cardboard beds. They break apart if you try and get biblical on it.
Well, here's what happened. She was caught trying to leave the village with her boyfriend, mm-hmm. Gabriel Santos.
Yeah. Is he just a ne'er-do-well, or is he also an Olympian?
Doesn't say that... he's Olympian. Sorry. He is also a swimmer who was part of the 4x100-meter freestyle relay team, and they finished seventh, so they're out.
Oh, okay.
So they were already just hanging around.
They were already knocked out.
Yeah.
But, like, why would you get kicked out?
Because they're trying to hang? I don't know.
I bet this is the dumbest thing. This should be a huge scandal. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are rules.
Here's what's kind of crazy, though. So they were reprimanded, mm-hmm. and the woman Carolina Vieira, who was caught trying to leave the village, she posted like on her Instagram account that she'd returned home. They didn't even let her get her belongings.
Brazil, what are we doing, baby?
She says she described the feeling as helpless. She's filed a complaint of harassment, and nothing's been resolved yet.
Is she getting punished because her boyfriend can't swim for bleep? I think that's what's going on here.
I don't know, man.
I think her boyfriend finished seventh place, and they're like, well, we got to make an example out of this. We're embarrassed. Because, I mean, think about it. In Brazil, a lot of opportunities to swim.
Brazil's swim team leader, Gustavo Otsuka. Why?
I didn't laugh.
Why the eyes?
He
said, quote, "We're here working for Brazil for the 200 million taxpayers who are working for us. We can't play around here." She took a completely inappropriate position to make her point, her dismay about the formation of the relay. That's news to me.
So basically, is he saying that
she was doing it on purpose?
So she was leaving to make a point because she disagreed with some sort of tactic they were using?
Yeah, probably the order.
Oh. Well, she must not be a very good swimmer.
I have no idea about this girl. I know that Brazil sent her butt home for leaving the village.
Actually, you know, sent all of her home.
Yeah, without her stuff.
Yeah.
What did I say? Part of her home?
No, you said her butt home. They sent all of her home.
God, Nick.
I thought you were Henri today. I imagined fire with fire here.
Oh, yeah, I am Henri.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan on Twitter saying, a lot of boys learn archery in the Boy Scouts. Okay. Now do swimming or luge or one of those. I need more information on this. I don't like this. I mean, granted, this absolutely proves the point that if she was their best swimmer, she would not have gotten sent home. If she was their best swimmer and they had a chance to get just medal in general, if she was even one of their four best swimmers, she's not getting sent home. So what you're saying is...
She got sent home.
She got sent home, all of her. And...
Not just the butt?
Not just the booty. But yeah, I think we've uncovered the real thing here. It seems like Gustavo's a bit of a dictator. I'm not wrong. Calling her out. Oh, she didn't like the way we're doing things and then, you know, chose the wrong way. Bro, she's an Olympian. You're not. You're just an Olympic coach. It's going to be really funny if it turns out he was also like an Olympic swimmer one day and he's just a total badass and I'm running him down.
Is the Brazil swim team like a cult?
It sounds like a cult to me. Doesn't sound like a place where reasonable people can have reasonable... I'm team... What's her name? What's the girl's name again?
The girl's name is, if I can scroll up to it, her name, Nick, is Ana Carolina Vieira.
I'm on Team Vieira here. What's the coach's name?
The coach's name? The leader?
Yeah.
Gustavo Otsuka.
Don't like him. What's the boyfriend's name?
The boyfriend's name? Why are you doing this to me?
I'm just trying to get all the particular players in line.
The partner is Gabriel Santos.
Okay. Any other swimming names in there we can throw out for the people?
Nope.
Are you Team Vieira or Team Otsuka?